You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Protecting her. Protecting
listen,
her?
Listen to me. The more people know about her, the more danger she's in. And the more danger you and your family are in.
Oh, what? So I should be thanking you
then? I'm not asking you to thank me. I'm asking you to try to understand.
I don't
That's
understand.
Fine. That's fine. Just do not blame her. All right? She's upset enough as
it is. I don't blame her. I blame you.
That's okay, kid. That's okay.
No, nothing about this is okay. Nothing about this is okay. You're stupid, disgusting. Okay. Liar. You piece of shit.
Stop it.
Liar.
Stop it.
Liar.
That's okay.
Liar.
Stop it. Stop
liar.
It.
Liar.
You're okay, kid.
Wow. I mean, wow. Here we are. Finally. It took a few extra weeks than I planned on. And a lot of notes, a lot of watching, a lot of thinking about Stranger Things 2. And folks, we're here. The final episode of Stranger Danger. Well, for now. This is the end of season 2. This is the end of the original project. So I guess technically it's the end of Stranger Danger season 2. We had one season starting in September, which followed directly by the second season, to coincide with the two seasons of Stranger Things. Really, this whole thing was to coincide with the release of Stranger Things 2. That's come and gone months ago. And here we are. Finally finishing our almost weekly podcast. There were a couple weeks in there that couldn't do anything. I think it was mostly Christmas and Thanksgiving. I mean, come on. There are a few other things in my life that I do besides watch television. But tonight, I did it. I watched Stranger Things, Episode 9, Season 2, The Gate. And now I'm going to talk about it, and that's it. I mean, look, what's going to happen from here? I don't know anything about Stranger Things 3. I remember during the Super Bowl last year, there was a commercial for the second season of Stranger Things. And I think it just said October. But I have no idea about production for season 3. I don't know when it's going to shoot. I don't know if it's even come close to shooting. I have no idea. I don't know if they're going to do a time jump. I have no idea when it's coming out. Nothing. But the moment something does come out, let's say a trailer, something that we can really talk about, there'll be episodes. There'll be episodes that I'm going to be putting up. They might be mini episodes, a few minutes long, you know, maybe playing some clips if there's a trailer out, but there will be something going. So if you are subscribed to Just Stranger Danger, please stay with us. And if you're subscribed to us through Geek Mentality, well, you're already with us. And at this point, hopefully you just don't go anywhere because I'm going to keep doing Geek Mentality episodes sporadically. And then in June, of course, there will be 30 episodes in 30 days for the 30 movies that I watch for Fans Not Experts Movie Month. But that is months away. Right now, it's all about Stranger Things Chapter 9, The Gate. This episode picks up right where the last one left off. Mike and Eleven meet each other and they embrace. And, you know, Mike's like, I spoke to you every night. I never gave up on you. And she's like, I heard. And it's at that point that Hopper confesses that he wouldn't let her talk back to her, that he's been hiding her. So I played the audio in the opening. That is Mike just really being pissed off. Pissed off that Eleven, he couldn't be trusted with Eleven. And really what it was, it wasn't that Hopper didn't trust him. It's that Hopper was trying to protect him, trying to protect all of them, including Eleven. He regrets it, you know, it's part of how he did it later on, you could see. But what he was doing wasn't out of spite, and it wasn't out of mistrust for these people. It was what he thought was the right thing. While Hopper and Mike are hashing their differences out, Lucas and Dustin are giving Eleven a big hug. It's great to see them. Max tries to introduce herself, but obviously Eleven saw Max and Mike in the gym that time. So she just kind of blew her off, walked right by her, and gave Joyce a nice big embrace. And then she asked to see Will.
He's not doing well.
I know. I saw.
What else did you see? You opened this gate before, right? Think if we got you back there, that you could close it?
And you just see this look of determination on Eleven's face. She knows what she has to do. She knows that only she can save the day. And then it cuts to the gate and one of the demodogs kind of screaming into the night. When we get back, then it's the opening credits. When we get back from the opening credits, we're actually in the Wheeler house. And Mrs. Wheeler is taking a bath and reading a romance novel. And listening to memories like the corner of my mind. The doorbell rings. She starts screaming for Ted to answer it, but Mr. Wheeler is fast asleep. So she heads down in her robe and, of course, who's at the door but Billy, young Billy. Now, she's in the bathtub reading a romance novel. If you look at the cover of the romance novel, it kind of looks like Billy. They did that on purpose. So all of a sudden, this kid who answers the door, this young stud, looks just like the guy in the cover of her book. She's a little like, ooh, a little taken back. He's like, I didn't realize Nancy had a sister. So he's getting all flirty, looking for Max. She invites him in, gives him some cookies, writes directions to the buyer's house. And, you know, just as little, it's almost like playful, flirty, a little creepy if you think about it. If it was the opposite way, the like a girl and the dad, it would be extremely creepy. But that's not the way it is. That's just the way it is. It would be much creepier the other way around. Sorry. I don't want to be sexist, but it just is. Trust me. It's creepy enough doing it when you think about it this way. So she gives Billy directions. He gets in the car and, you know, the smile kind of goes away and you could see that he's basically evaporated back into the asshole that he is. Cut back over to the buyer's house and obviously, Hopper's really nervous about any plan for 11 to try to close the gate. But they all kind of hash out what needs to be done.
It's not like it was before. It's grown a lot. And I mean, that's considering we can get in there. The place is crawling with those dogs.
Demodogs.
I'm sorry, what?
I said demodogs. Like Demogorgon and dogs. Like, you put them together, it sounds pretty badass.
How is this important right now?
It's not. I'm sorry.
I can do it.
You're not hearing me.
I'm hearing you. I can do it.
Even if El can, there's still another problem. If the brain dies, the body dies.
I thought that was the whole point.
It is, but if we're really right about this, I mean, if El closes the gate and kills the Mind Flayer's army...
Will's a part of that army.
Closing the gate will kill him.
Makes it cold.
What?
That's what Will kept saying to me. He likes it cold. We keep giving it what it wants.
If this is a virus, and Will's the host, then...
Then we need to make the host uninhabitable.
So if he likes it cold...
We need to burn it out of him. We have to do it somewhere he doesn't know this time.
Yeah, somewhere far away.
That's when Hopper realizes the cabin. They could use the cabin. So we see Hopper carrying Will out of the house, talking to Jonathan, giving him directions to where the cabin is. He basically says, you know, you let me know when that thing is out of him. Because as they explained, if the Mind Flayer is kind of a host mind and everything dies after they kill it or close the gate, if everything dies... Will dies. So they have to get the thing out of Will first. So that's why Hopper's like, you have to let me know as soon as that thing is out of him. So that 11 can close the gate. Just that easy. Before they all head over, Nancy and Steve are kind of looking for space heaters to bring with them to Will's. And they have a nice little moment. He's like, you should probably get going. And she's just like, I'm sorry. She didn't want to leave Mike at first, but he's like, you need to go with him. But she apologized and he's like, it's okay. You know, he goes, I may have been a shitty boyfriend, but turns out I'm a pretty good damn boy, babysitter. And it was just, you could see that I wrote Steve, is full good guy now. And he's been that way for a while, but you know, there's no reason to root against Steve or think he's a jerk in any way now. At that time, Mike and 11 have their own moment. You know, she promises never, he would never lose her again. They almost have a kiss, but Hopper steps in and is like, we got to go. It's time to go. So the gate team goes one way. I call them the gate team. The Will team goes the other way to the cabin. And that just kind of leaves the bench. The rest of the crew is Mike, Lucas, Dustin, Max, and Steve. They're the bench team. They have nothing to do. Or at least, at this moment, they have nothing to do. Whilst driving to the lab, Hopper and Eleven have a little heart-to-heart where Hopper's trying to figure out where Eleven was. She explains that she went to see Mama, that a nice man in a big truck took her there. And she doesn't mention anything about Kali, doesn't mention anything about, was it Chicago? Is that where she went? Nothing about that. But, you know, Hopper, he regrets that he lied to her about her mother. He regrets that he held her back from Mike and the friends. He thinks he's doing the right thing, but, you know, he realizes that, you know, maybe it's just bad things happen around him. He thinks maybe he's just a black hole that sucks everything in. And he's really apologetic about it.
A lot of things I shouldn't have done. Sometimes I feel like I'm... like I'm just some kind of black hole or something.
Black hole?
Yeah, it's a... you know, it's this thing in outer space. It's like... it sucks everything towards it and destroys it. Sarah had a picture book about outer space. She loved it.
Who's Sarah?
Sarah? Sarah's my girl. She's my little girl.
Where is she?
Well, that's kind of the thing, kid. She left us.
Gone.
Yeah. The black hole. It got her. And somehow, I've just been scared, you know? I've just been scared that it would take you too. I think that's why I get so mad. I'm so sorry for everything. I could be so... so...
stupid.
Yeah. Stupid. Just really stupid. I guess we broke our rule. I don't hate it, by the way, this whole look. It's kind of cool.
Bitch.
Okay, sure. Bitch.
Yeah, I just have a lot of great audio for this episode, so I figure why not play it all? I don't care how long the clips are. This is the final episode of the season. Go out with a bang, right? I loved all that audio. I loved the actor, David Harbour, I believe. I loved just his performance, his facial expressions. He should get awards for this. But the one thing that bugs me is that he's the one who told Brenner how to find Eleven in the first place, to get her, you know, at the end of the last season. He's the one who gave her up at the school, but just promised don't hurt the kids. Is that ever going to come up? It has to, doesn't it? Maybe if Brenner isn't dead, he'll bring it up. He's like, huh? He'll be like, how do you think I found you? That's my Brenner impersonation. Or it's more like, okay, because he says, you have a wound, Eleven. How do you think I found you? Why do I sound like this? I am a robot. Anyway, we're back at the Byers house. And it's actually kind of funny. Dustin is clearing the fridge out, and he has Steve's holding the Demodog wrapped in a blanket. They want to preserve this. Well, Dustin does, because it's a scientific discovery. Lucas and Max are just cleaning up the place. But Mike's pacing. He's very nervous. And he's like, we're doing nothing. You didn't see that lab. It's filled with demodogs, all those things. They're crazy. The dogs, and Lucas is, Dustin's like, demodogs. A little annoying about it, but it was funny. And Steve's like, look, we're on the bench. Okay. Everybody has a job. They're like, we don't. He's like, you're right. We're on the bench, and that's where we're going to stay, on the bench. He's trying to be the babysitter, trying to keep all these kids safe, trying to protect them. But yeah, I got to keep these kids out of trouble. They're like, well, there's nothing we can do anyway. And Dustin's like, I'm not so sure about that. He came up with the idea of, you know, what if we could draw them away? They were drawn to the lab. What if we could draw them away? And a plan comes to life. And of course, Steve's like, they'll come to us and kill us. But they're not even listening. Mike's like running around looking at the map that Will drew out. And he's like, here's a hub. This is the hole where Hopper dug down to it. This is how we can get to it. And maybe if we burn it, they'll come and try to stop us. And Steve's like, and kill us. Steve, you know, is just about to put his foot down, and they almost give in. And then you hear the Trans Am come up, and it's Billy. Billy looking for his sister. Well, he calls her his sister. Interesting. Well, she said my brother. It's complicated. But he shows up, and who's outside waiting for him but Steve Harrington. He's like, what are you doing here, Steve Harrington, with my 13-year-old sister? Harrington's like, she ain't here, dude. He's like, oh, yeah, who's that? And he sees her looking in the window, and he proceeds to push him over, give him a little kick, barge into the house, grab Lucas, shove him up against the wall. He's about to kick his ass. All the kids are freaking out. Lucas kicks him in the balls. Awesome. Backs away. And Steve comes in, and he's like, boom. He starts fighting him. And the problem is that Billy's bigger, Billy's stronger, and Billy can take a punch. And he fights dirty. He took a plate, smashed Steve over the head, started beating the shit out of Steve. Look, I said a swear. That's the way it is. I apologize. But while he's just beating the crap out of him, the kids are just standing there doing nothing, just yelling. And what does Max find but the syringe that they use to put Will to sleep? She grabs it, walks right up, doesn't even wait, and slams that mother right into Billy's neck. He turns around, he's like, what is going on, huh? What happened? He falls down, and she's like, you stay away from my friends. The boys are like impressed and freaked out at the same time. She takes the bat. She slams the bat right between his legs. And at that point, he's like, all right, I'll leave you alone. He passes out, and she's like, you know what? Let's get out of here. She takes his keys, says, let's go. The boys just look on, like, frightened, but also impressed at the same time. It's pretty awesome. That was her moment. We cut over to the cabin, and they show up, and they start getting the room ready. They start setting up the heaters. They take Will. They put him next to a wood stove. Joyce puts some logs in there, and they tie Will down to the bed. And Jonathan's a little hesitant about what they're about to do.
Are you sure this is a good idea?
This thing has had Will long enough. Let's kill the son of a bitch.
So they throw a match in the fire, turn on all the heaters, and they're about to sweat that monster out of young Will Byers. Meanwhile, over at the lab, Eleven and Hopper arrive. Eleven gets out, and this is the first time she's seen the lab in a little while. And she just looks up and just has a little flashback of some real bad things that happened to her there. But they head on in. We cut over to a Trans Am just flying down the road, and Steve is passed out in the back, and he starts to come to. He starts realizing what he sees. He sees Max driving the car. He sees Mike next to him. He thinks it's Nancy, and he's like, what the hell is going on? Because he realizes this is a 13-year-old girl driving this car here. But of course, Dustin has the best line, one of the best lines of the show. The series, I mean, at least the whole season.
Nancy? Oh. No, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Hey, buddy. Shh.
It's okay, you put up a good fight. He kicked your ass, but you put up a good fight, buddy, okay? You're okay.
Okay, you're gonna keep straight for a half a mile, then make a left on Mount Sinai.
Steve realizes he hears Lucas giving directions. You know, Dustin has the great line about you put up a good fight. And he's like, what the hell's going on? He starts freaking out. Stop the car. And all that does is make Max go even faster. And she's flying. Back over at the cabin, Will wakes up. He's like, what's going on? What are we doing? It hurts. Let me go. It hurts. Let me go. I mean, he's screaming. And Jonathan is like, you know, whoa, he's freaking out. And Joyce, she cranks the heat up even more. We're going to be doing a lot of bouncing around from these three spots. The tunnels, the lab, and the cabin. Back over in the car, Max pulls right up against the hole. It just flies up. Mike says, incredible. That I think at that moment, Max became part of the group. She's like, I told you, Zoomer. Steve's trying to put an end to their plan. He's like, you know, we can't do this. We stop. And they're getting all the gear on. They're putting these masks on. They're ready to go down. They're just heading down to the hole without Steve. And Dustin is like, look, you're supposed to be protecting us, right? So protect us. So, yeah, they head on into the tunnels. Over at the lab, Hopper and Eleven are making their way through, you know, down the stairway. And they come across Owens. He's alive, but he's hurt pretty bad. So Hopper takes off a belt and tries to help him, like, tie off the wound on his leg. He also has a wound, it seems, on his chest. It seems close to life-threatening, but he's not dying. So it seems like he will survive. And it's at that moment that Hopper finally introduces him to young Eleven.
So, yeah, I've been meaning to tell you. This is Eleven. Eleven, Doc Owens, Eleven. She's been staying with me for about a year, and she's about to save our asses. Maybe when this is all said and done, maybe you could help her out too, you know? Maybe you could help her lead like a normal life. One where she's not poked and prodded and treated like some kind of lab rat, you know? I don't know. It's just a thought. Think about it.
Just awesome. Awesome for Hopper to use this moment to basically say, hey, you know, this girl's about to save us all. The least you could do is let her have her life. Just a really cool moment from a cool dude. So we're back in the tunnels with, I guess, the tunnel team. I can call them that now. They're not the bench anymore. And they're walking through, trying to make their way. And Dustin sees one of those spouts. I think the same thing. They kind of spit those, like, dust things into the air. And it spits right into his mouth, all over him. And he freaks out. I mean, this is just really a moment of humor. There's no other reason for it, as far as I can tell, unless something happens in the future. But he screams with his high, high-pitched voice. And then he's like, huh, well, I'm fine. And it's at that point they find the hub where all the tunnels connect. And they just say, okay, let's start dousing it with gas. At the same time, we're back at the cabin. Will is still freaking out. Jonathan's about to put a stop to it. He's afraid that he's killing him. Will gets a hand free, though, while this is happening. Nancy's like, Will's neck. And, like, you see the monster kind of coming up at the neck. And Jonathan's about to untie him. And then Will gets a hand free, and he starts choking his mother. I mean, it's crazy. We're back at the lab. And there's too many of those demodogs, you know. Hopper sees them and he realizes he's going to have to start shooting. Hopefully they can get through. At the same time, Steve has a match ready to light up the tunnels. Nancy, because Will is choking Joyce, and we're going all over the place. We're going from the lab to the tunnels back to the cabin. Joyce is still getting choked, so Nancy takes a hot iron poker and burns Will with it. And he ends up letting go of Joyce. That exact same time, Hopper comes out and he's about to shoot all the dogs. And Will lights the... at that point, Steve has lit the tunnel. The dogs start taking off. The shadow monster takes off as well. And that's when you see Steve and the kids lit up everything. And I wrote down, are Steve and the kids the real heroes of this episode? They allowed the monster, they forced the monster out of Will, when you really think about it. And they forced the gates, the demidogs, back at them because, you know, they were about to light the fire. So they were running at them to save them. But you know what? It doesn't matter because the real hero we know is 11. So all of a sudden, Jonathan calls over to Hopper and says, close the gate, buddy. Do it. He did it just like that. It's like, all right. So Hopper and 11 head down in the elevator, and they're in front of the gate. And I mean, it's massive. Massive. At the same time, the kids are running to get away from the fire, away from the monsters, just away from everything, running, because they know that the demidogs are running back to them to try to stop them. And while the fire's going, they need to run their butts off. Mike trips and Vine grabs him. And 11 starts to close the gate. And this at this time in the lab, or under the lab, we really get to see the size and shape of this monster behind it. It is humongous. We saw the shape before as the shadow monster. But I mean, this thing, you can really see, like, it's not, you know, in the upside down. Well, it is, but it's right there. It's like, it can almost break through. Crazy. So back in the tunnels, Steve smashes Mike, the vine, doesn't smash Mike, he smashes the vine next to Mike to get him free, and they start to leave, and that's when a demidog shows up. But Dustin recognizes it, because it's Dart.
Dart?
Dustin, get back here! Stop. Trust me, please. Hey, it's me. It's your friend. It's Dustin. It's Dustin, right? You remember me? When will you let us pass? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about the storm cellar. I know it's a pretty douchey thing to do. You hungry? Yeah.
He's insane.
I've got our favorite. Nougat. Eat up, buddy. Come on. Buddy, I've got more. Bye, buddy. Let's go.
Only Stranger Things can make me care about this little Dart demidog. You know, it actually makes it seem like there was a connection between him and Dustin, or he just cared more about Nougat than anything else. But it's probably because I'm very attached to my dog that anything even remotely like that just tugs at my heartstrings. So back over in the lab, underneath the lab, 11 is starting to use her powers against the gate. And the first thing she does is think about what Kali told her about using her anger. Meanwhile, underneath the tunnels, they realize all the demidogs are coming. They are running at them. So they run right back to the hole. Steve helps them all get up. He's just about to help Dustin get up, and too late, they show up and they charge right at them, and they charge right by them. They don't even look at them at all. Mike realizes they're heading back to 11. They start showing up at the lab, and they start, you know, trying to get to 11. They're hopping. They're jumping at the elevator. Well, Hopper's trying to shoot them off as best as he can while 11 channels everything to take this gate down.
You have a wound, 11. A terrible wound.
The gate. I opened it.
And it's festering. And it will grow. Spread. and eventually, it will kill you.
So it's at this moment where just everything that Eleven's been through, it's all led to this. And she just channels this power in a way you've never seen before. The monster actually, and I didn't even remember seeing this the first time, the monster has this like black smoke leading out to her. And she just puts up a wall. And so powerful that she starts floating off the ground. And she fights this thing. She starts pushing it back. And at the same time that she's doing this, I mean, she's creating an incredible amount of energy where lights are flashing all over town, you know, at the cabin, at the buyer's house, even the car lights when the kids came out of the tunnel. Just a crazy amount of power. And she's pushing it back and pushing it back. Finally, the gate closes. And she just collapses with exhaustion. But Hopper's there for her.
You did good, kid. You did so good.
She did it. She saved the day. A month has passed now. The next thing we see is that it's 1 month later, and chains and locks are being put on the lab. As military people are closing up shop and military trucks are just driving out, and there you see at the gate, enjoying a drink, waving and having a great time, is Murray. He did it. He was able to close this lab down, and one of the military guys gives him the finger, but that even just makes him happier. And the lab's closed down all because of his, Nancy, and Jonathan's plan.
Since the release of the incendiary tape, the once quiet town of Hawkins, Indiana, has spent time in a place it never expected. The national spotlight. Under mounting pressure, several high-ranking members from the U.S. Department of Energy have admitted involvement in the death and cover-up of Hawkins resident Barbara Holland, who died due to exposure to an experimental chemical asphyxiant, which had leaked from the grounds of the lab. We sent our own April Klein to Hawkins to speak to residents. Residents who told us they thought they lived in a safe town. The kind of town where, they say, nothing ever happens.
Nothing ever happens in Hawkins, Indiana. That should be the motto. Nothing ever happens in Hawkins, Indiana. That news report was playing in the bar restaurant where Hopper showed up to meet Dr. Owens. He's doing better. He says he, you know, may never play football or ice skate. He said something about it, something funny. But he's doing okay. And I guess he called Hopper to meet him because he had something for him. A birth certificate for Jane Hopper. Yep, it's official. She's a person. She exists. And it, as far as the state is concerned, she's Hopper's daughter. But he's like, you should probably keep it low for a year, you know. And he's like, a year? Yeah, just to be safe. He goes, what about one night? And he's like, what's so important about one night? Well, of course, it's the Hawkins Ball. So everything from here on out is regular kid stuff. I mean, until the last moment, it's regular kid stuff. So we're in the buyer's house, and Joyce is teaching Will how to dance. At the Wheeler house, Mike is getting his photo taken from his mom. He doesn't want to be having that done. At Lucas's house, he's talking into the mirror, trying to get the courage to ask Max to dance. And at Max's house, she's getting her hair done. and she just sees Billy, and Billy just looks at her and just keeps on walking. And of course, at Dustin's house, he's freaking out because he needs to find his Farrah Fawcett spray to get his hair ready before his ride gets there. And of course, it's Steve that picked him up, took him to the dance because they're buds now. He just gives him the advice of, you know, don't act like you care. And he's like, good luck. Don't go because that's a little creepy. So he goes, Dustin goes into the dance. Steve looks in, he sees Nancy in the dance, and he's just, you know, you can see he still cares about her, but he drives off. And that's the end of Steve's story for this season. And just hearing the music and seeing the kids at the dance brings me back. Now, 1984, I was only 8 years old, so it was, you know, another 5 years before I was going to dances, 4 or 5 years, but very much the same vibe. Inside, Jonathan's there taking photos, and Nancy and him give a little smile to each other. And the boys see Dustin and tease him for his hair. And that's when a slow song hits. And I just need to tell you that as a young man at a dance, there's nothing scarier than when a slow song hits. The first thing that happens is Lucas gets the courage to ask Max to dance. And you can see the pain in Dustin's eyes right there. Just the sadness, the jealousy that Lucas is the kid that, you know, Max likes. Some girls show up and they ask Zombie Boy. A girl shows up and says, hey, Zombie Boy, want to dance? And Mike pushes them and Will goes to dance. And Dustin just looking over at Max. It makes me feel awful. This has nothing to do with, like, monsters or anything. This is just kids just killing me. He sees a group of girls. He goes over to ask Stacy to dance. He puts his hands out, cocky, you know, very cocky. He says, shall we? Wait. Look and you will find me. Such a great song. He's like, shall we? And she gets blown off. And he realizes, you know, no girls are interested. Everyone's taken. He just standing there. Sad. Nancy sees him. Finds him actually sitting on the bleachers, trying not to cry. Just brings him up and says, hey, let's dance. Big smile on his face. Because remember the first season, he had a crush on her. She's like, you know, you were always my favorite of my brother's friends. And because he's dancing with Nancy Wheeler, now the girls are starting to take some notice. Even Stacy. So there may be hope for young Dustin yet. And she's like, look, girls right now, they can be stupid. You just give it a couple of years and you'll be slaying them. And he's like, really? Or you'll be knocking them dead or something like that. And she's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Outside the dance, we see Joyce just kind of hanging out. And Hopper comes upon her and is like, hey, what are you doing here? She's like, well, Will wanted me to give him space, so I give him a few feet. Obviously, she doesn't want to leave Will that far away from him. So they share a moment, and he's like, hey, I don't think, you know, Mr. So-and-so is going to catch us. And they share a cigarette. You want them to get together, right? I'm not the only one who wants Hopper and Joyce to fall in love, don't you? But again, why is Hopper there in the first place? Oh, that's right. He brought 11. You can see Mike look up. As she walks in, she finds him. He finds her. They walk over. He's like, do you want to dance? She's like, I don't know how to. He's like, neither do I. And, you know, you can see they start dancing. They're having fun. All the boys seem to be doing good. All the boys seem to be happy. Mike kisses, Max kisses Lucas. Mike kisses 11. At that point, it's not this song playing anymore. It's Every Breath You Take by The Police. And if you remember the lyrics of that, it's every breath you take, every move you make, something, 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 I'll be watching you. and we back away from the school. And the camera starts to pan upside down. And there we are, in the upside down, and standing over the school. Is the Mind Flayer? It's still out there. Boom. And then it says, Stranger Things 2, season over. Boom. Awesome. The end. I don't even know where to go from here. I mean, usually I talk about what we learned, but I guess we can say, what do we learn? Well, we learn that Max and Lucas do like each other. We learn that Dustin still likes Max, but the girls are going to start to notice Dustin. We know that Mike and Eleven are finally together, and Eleven is technically going to be called Jane Hopper. She has a birth certificate now. We know that Will seems to be doing better. Jonathan and Nancy seem to be doing better. Steve, you know, he's probably still sad. Hopper and Joyce seem to be doing okay. I might have just said that. We know that Mike and Nancy's mom is a little creepy for Billy, but Billy might be staying away from Max going forward. Probably not, but at least for now, he will be. And everything is good and happy in the world as far as they're concerned. There's no lab anymore. There's no gate anymore. But the monster's still there, and he's still watching you, because the upside down doesn't go anywhere. The monster doesn't go anywhere. So where do we lead from here? Where do we go from here? Maybe I'll do a guess episode where we kind of take a guess at what's going to be happening in the upcoming season. But alas, for now, we're done. There's no more. You don't have to beware the Mind Flayer anymore. You probably should, though, because he's still out there. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for subscribing. I really appreciate it. You know, I know there's not a ton of you out there. But those who are, those who stuck with me, those who actually enjoy this for some reason, and I know why you enjoy it, because of Stranger Things. I try to make it as enjoyable as possible, but we're all here for the same reason, because of it. Stranger Things is an amazing television show. And I can't wait for season 3. I will be back. This show will be back. And until then, remember one thing. It's still watching you.
Fans, not experts. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.